A few months ago, I showed a little 3-minute clip, and people had asked me about it because there were some people that wasn't here. So I'm going to go ahead and show that clip again, and then I'm going to visit about it. Amen. That little clip did so much better job than what I could do. You know, Cornerstone has always been a giving church. You know, I've been around long enough that where we had just a handful of people and we didn't even have a building to call our own. And I've also been here long enough to see when we had over 600 people in the largest church facility in Grove. But never in the history of Cornerstone, regardless of our size, than what we had given, more than we had given last year. Some $65,000 was blessed in our outreach and missions. This was local, state, national, and international giving. Praise you, Father. You know, why am I telling you this? Well, you know, it's because you gave that we were able to do this. It was because you gave we can accept a great harvest. That's right. You ought to be expecting a great harvest yourself. And as a church, we ought to be expecting a great harvest. You know, on more than one occasion, you know, our pastor has told us that Cornerstone is a church of destiny, and I believe it. He also says he has a vision for the church, and by the grace of God and all of us to help, we ought to work towards that vision. You ever think about where we are today and where we might be going? I do. I even dream about it sometimes. You know, I dream of a youth center that youth could be ministered to on Wednesday night and Sunday night that would have as much room as we have in here today. I dream of a place where youth could come any night of the week and in some type of supervisory type area where it's staffed, that they would have a place to go that would be free of the pressures of drug and alcohol and mischief. I dream of a place for them to be where they don't have to stand out in a parking lot next to cars for a place to be. Now, I could go on about children, and I could just start stepping into all kind of areas. You know, I see a catwalk leading off of the church going this way across the street, and the reason why is it's going to be able to attach to the things that's going to go on over there somewhere down the road. But I'm not even going to get any of that. I just want to say that we ought to dream, and we ought to know that what the time and energy and the finances that we've invested, that we've planted, that we've tithed, we ought to have big expectations. Come on forward. Let's take the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into your kingdom, Father. We know it's good soil, Father, and we know that the leadership here, Father, has given, and we just ask you to bless these people that's good, Father, and bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I get into the message, I heard this story that probably doesn't have anything to do with today's message, but it was a good story. It seems that this grandfather took his grandson fishing. And while they were fishing, of course, the grandfather wanted to impart some ministry, some love, some teaching, some wisdom, some foundation into this young man's life. So he talked about some of the things of God. And in the course of it, he talked about Noah. Talked about Noah and how God spoke to him. He built the ark, and then two by two they went in. The young lad asked his grandfather, if he thought Noah was a fisherman. Grandpa says, I doubt it. He only had two worms. Yeah, that's not bad. It kind of sneak up on you anyway. As I look around, there is a tremendous amount of fear that is involved in this country at this time. Title of our message is The Best Days of Your Life Is Just Ahead of You, just so you know where we're going. But at the same time, as I begin preparing this message, I begin thinking about all the fear that I see surrounding me. I see people that are afraid concerning gas that's going to go to $5 a gallon. Our country's going to go bankrupt. About who is going to be elected president of the United States. How's our 401k's investments on the stock market? Is there going to be enough food? Am I going to have a job? Is the Social Security going to be there for me? Is Medicare going to take... all kinds of fear that's gripping America. Well, King David has a word for those of you that this is a point of interest. It's found in Psalm, the 37th chapter and the 25th verse. It says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging for bread. I want you to catch that. This is King David talking about it. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen one of God's children begging for bread. Then King David's son, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived until Jesus came, also has a word for you this morning. Proverbs 3:5, wisest man that ever lived said this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's your word from the Lord this morning. God told me to give that to you specifically. That's not the message, but that anyway. You know what the 11th commandment is?
Don't sweat it.
Who said that? She's right. Thou shalt not sweat it. Thank you, Mary Jo. Somebody's taught you that, haven't they? Don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Put your trust in the Lord. Not in the news media. Not in the United States government. Or even your own abilities. The God, trust God for all your needs. And he will meet them. And that's a lot about what this message is all about this morning. Believing God. Trusting in God. About what he can bring and do for our life. Much of the time when you and I are preparing for the future, we think in terms of financial security. We make deposits of money for our retirement, or for a nest egg, or for protection against a rainy day. In doing that, we're believing that we will have a secure future because of the fact that we got money in the bank or invested for it. Now, these are all good. I'm not against it, I'm for it. I think you should. I think you should be good stewards. God wants you to be that. But financial investments are not the only thing that we need to consider when we're thinking about our future. Remember, the title of our message this morning is, you've got the best days are ahead of you. Your future is going to be the best we can have. By nature, investments are futuristic. We expect them to render a return at some point in the future. When we make financial investments, it means that we have to sacrifice something today so we can have a better future. This, of course, requires discipline, denial, and wisdom. We have to sacrifice today in order to secure our future. For you to have a secure future, however, it goes far beyond just money or finances. It means that you will need to invest in your life. It means that not only do you need to make investments, but you need, as far as financially, but you need to invest in your life. It means that you should invest in you. So somebody said, well, how do you invest in you? Well, Jesus really understood that question. He understood it. And he gave us the answer in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 22. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Focus in on that word life. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat, nor about the body, for what you will put on. Then in verse 23, he amplifies on what he just said in 22. Life is more than food and the body. It's more than clothing. Now, our Lord was not suggesting that you be irresponsible in your planning for the future. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying if you trust God, put your faith and your confidence in God, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about your future. You put God first, and he'll take care of it. Here you're seeing the contrast between the world system and God's system. And that is, in the world system, there's fear, and there's worry, and there's concern, and they're uptight, and there's greed, and they're pulling, and they're pushing, and doing everything they can to be able to get what they want to get. But in the kingdom of God, it talks about giving. If there's one thing that will determine the health of a church, and this is what Fred was speaking of here when he was receiving the offering a few minutes earlier. If there's one thing that will determine the health of a church, is their giving. Not just of money, but giving of their time. so that they will be able to see, and actually they are investing when they're giving of their money and of their time and their talent. Because the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. And as we give and as we invest, it will come back to us sevenfold. And as Fred also said so eloquently, yes, and it will bless us. You've been a blessing. This church has been a blessing. We will be blessed. Amen. So, what God's saying is, seek first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You line up your priorities, you seek God first, you stay, and that word righteousness there, it means right standing. You stay in right standing with God. You try to do the best you can. There are times when you'll have to ask forgiveness. But if you do these things, it will be added to your life. Seek first. Do what, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And these things will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about whether that gas is going to go to $5. You don't have to worry how high food's going to go. You don't have to worry about those things. The Word of God says that you do this and I'll take care of you. That's the difference in the world system and God's kingdom. When you're planning your investments for the future, include God. Include God in your investment portfolio. I'm talking about investing in you so you can have a greater return. Invest in you and your life. Did you know that when you're loving others, that you're actually showing that you love yourself? When you're loving others, it shows that you value yourself. When you help others, it shows that you're concerned about, I mean, that you have a good self-confidence, a good self-worth about yourself. People that are struggling at this time and during this time are those people that won't help others. But when you're helping others, you're sowing seeds of greatness in your life. Let's reread verse 33, if you would, and allow me to amplify on the word seek. Just allow me a little bit of latitude. Cut me some slack here, as my son used to say. He said, Dad, cut me some slack. Anyway, the word seek I'd like to replace with invest. Invest first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, that takes on a totally different meaning when it talks about we're investing, because we expect a return on our investment. And as you invest your time, as you invest your emotions, as you invest your prayers, this means that you will be receiving. Never forget that God is a God of increase. No place can you show me in the Bible where God would do anything except what was best for the people. He's a God of increase. He has better things in store for you. You were born for better things. Maybe I ought to say you were reborn for better things, but you were born for better things. He is a God of increase. And I'm saying to each one of you today that God wants to bless you, and he wants you to be and to do what he's called you to do. And I'm telling you today that whatever life you're living today, God has something better in store for you. And I don't make any difference whether your life is falling apart or whether you are living on cloud nine and you're doing wonderful. God still got more in store for each one of you this morning. The best days of your life is ahead of you this morning. If you'll hold on to the Lord and do what God says. Trust in the Lord. Seek him first. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. I could get happy right there. Today you're about to embark on a journey through which you will discover parts of yourself that perhaps you have never or rarely discovered before. And while I can't guarantee you that you will become rich or famous, I can assure you that if you follow his plan, you'll have a more fulfilled, joyful, peaceful life. Today we will be unlocking the seeds of greatness on each side, inside of each one of you. We're going to allow them to burst forth into a beautiful, full, abundant, and fulfilling life. That's what this message is all about here today. My definition, I think it's on your outline. My definition of godly success is knowing God's will for my life while growing to my maximum potential and sowing seeds of greatness in other people's lives using my gifts and responsibility. I'm going to take just a minute to chase a rabbit there. That's good stuff. Knowing God's will for my life while growing to my maximum potential and sowing seeds of greatness or bringing value into other people's lives using my gifts and my resources. Yeah. One of the biggest challenges that people would have with something like this is too many people do not feel like they have anything to offer. Because maybe of lack of successes, maybe because of failures, maybe because of things that happened to them, they have no confidence that they have anything to give. My friends, I'm here to declare to you this morning that every one of you sitting under the sound of my voice has something to give. You have something to offer. You're a person of value. And you know what? There are people just waiting for you to step out there and to help them, encourage them, bring value into their life. You have gifts that you've never opened and never realized that you have this morning.
Amen.
See, one of the challenges that we have, whether you're a Christian or not, but I'm telling you, because you're a believer, you have more authority than if you're not a believer. But one of the challenges that we have is not knowing or not believing or not saying, well, I just can't do it. Some of the old songs we used to sing, well, I'm just a poor worm. Yeah. Oh, brother, give me a break. How can you be a winner in life? I'm going to get back on my message. To be a winner in life, you must enter the race. If you're going to run the race, you got to enter it, right? Heard a story about that, but I can't tell it from the pulpit. Moving right along. Well, you know, preachers hear stories too. Let's go. To be a winner, you must enter the race of life. You know how you do that? You give your heart to the Lord. You give your heart to the Lord. This is not a spectator sport. It's a participator sport. It's not something that your wife or your parents or somebody else could do for you. If you're going to swim, you got to get in the water, baby. You got to get in there. You cannot sit in the stands and cheer the others on. It's time for every one of us to get in and go forward for the kingdom of God. Understand that God wants you to become all that He created you to be. Don't let that just slide by you. God has a plan for your life. He created you for it. He wants you to go for it. He wants you to go for the goal this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And then John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, that's the righteousness part. You got to stay in line with God's teaching, God's Bible. See, you know, Jesus will do His part, but will you do your part? You do your part as well. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. If God's word abides in you, and you're abiding in God's word, you can have the desires of your heart. Amen. Greatest days of your life are ahead of you. Amen. Running to win the race of life. 1 Corinthians 9:24, 27. Apostle Paul was talking here when he said, you know that many runners enter a race and only one of them wins the prize. So run to win. Now this is Paul talking. I didn't write this. Paul wrote it. Athletes work hard to win a crown that cannot last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. If you enter the race of life that I'm talking about here, it's something that will last throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. He says, I don't run without a goal. I don't box by beating my fist in the air. says, I keep my body under control, make it my slave, so I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. Can you say amen? Amen. Telling the good news to others. Paul was continually doing this. Everyone wants to be a winner. I don't think I have ever met anybody that said they wanted to lose. I don't think I've ever had. And if you know of somebody, don't bring them to me. But I don't think I know of anybody that ever said, you know what, I want to lose. God wants you to be a winner in life. Winners don't just happen. They become winners because of their commitment, because of their discipline and a set of principles. The same is true in the game of life. Winners win because they're committed to becoming a disciple of Christ, to becoming more Christ-like. Winners stretch to the next level. During the last Olympics, Michael Phelps won 8 gold medals in swimming. In one particular event, which was the 100-meter butterfly event, he won by only 1/100th of a second. I don't know if you blink your eyes if that's 1/100th of a second. Anyway, he won by that. The difference between Michael Phelps and the other swimmer, Michael stretched at the end and touched it first. And the other swimmer actually was just kind of gliding in, thought he had it made. The difference between the gold and the silver is if you stretch in the end. It's time to start stretching, folks. It's time to start stretching. Remember, God put everything in you to live the victorious life. Winners win by laying aside excess baggage. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this very eloquently about talking about the race of faith Christian must experience. Hebrews 12:1. I'm used to teaching VBI. I'm saying things twice now. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before you. If you're going to win at the game of life, you're going to have to lay aside some excessive emotional baggage. Past hurts, past rejection, past mistakes. It's time to lay those aside and rise up and know that that today is the day, the past is behind us, and we have, Paul said further, he says, I am forgetting the past. Amen. I'm forgetting the past, and I'm pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And that's what we're doing here today, is we are laying aside the excessive baggage, we are forgetting the past, we are going forward, and we are pressing toward that mark, that high mark that God has called you and I to, and we're going to individually, but collectively as a church, we're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. And you say amen. Winners press forward. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the power of your bloodline. I recently read an article about a racehorse. Joe Nallen, I probably should have used you as a reference point here, but I'll wing it, and then you can tell me later if I'm wrong, okay? Talked about the amount of time and effort and resources that goes into developing a Kentucky Derby caliber racehorse. These are not ordinary horses, they are thoroughbreds. They have generation after generation of winners on the inside of them. These horses have been carefully studied and bred for generations. The breeders, the trainers, the veterinarians may search data and statistics for the past 50 to 60 years. They're checking the animal's bloodline. In horse racing, The bloodstock agent focuses his attention on the animal's bloodline. They'll spend months studying a particular line of horses, researching the lineage. The bloodstock agent will examine how the horse's father fared, how long his stride was, how fast he could run, and what size he was, and on and on and on. They're checking the bloodline. The breeders understand that winners don't randomly happen. Winning is in the blood. You know where I'm going?
Yeah.
I know you're ahead of me, but stay with me. We're going to walk this out. When one of these champions were born, they looked and acted just like any other horse. Their legs were wobbly. They could barely stand up. They looked like an average, ordinary horse. But the owners know on the inside is the bloodline of this of his colt. There's a champion there. It's all in the blood. Hallelujah. They don't really care what color he is. They don't care how pretty he is, because they know deep on the inside of them the colt has the blood of a champion, of a winner. Friends, that's how God looks to you. Our external appearance is not important to God. The color of our skin is not important to God. Our education is not important to God. I want to tell you something else. The mistakes we've made are not important to God if we've asked forgiveness. All right? See, our ethnic background is not important. He doesn't care about your weaknesses. He doesn't care about your flaws. It's because, you see, it's under the blood. Amen. Woo! Glory to God! Amen. Yeah! Yes! Yes! That's how God looks at you. Now let me just share with you very quickly, I know I'm running long. I know we're behind. Stay with me. This is good stuff, I tell you. It's something you can live with. You come from a long line of champions. You come from a long line of champions. Genesis said that you were made in the very image of God. Your heavenly Father spoke the galaxies into existence. He hung the stars. Your elder brother defeated the enemy over 2,000 years ago. There's great faith in your bloodline. Moses parted the Red Sea, and David defeated Goliath with a few pebbles of stone. There's a divine protection flowing in your bloodline. Daniel spent a night in the lion's den without being harmed. There were three Hebrew children that also went in the fiery furnace without a hair of their head being singed. There's determination and there's persistence that pulsates in the blood of Jesus Christ that's flowing in your bloodline. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. When all odds were against him, and it was a great day. There's sacrifice and there's heroism in your bloodline. Queen Esther put her life on the line to save God's people. You come from a long bloodline of champions this morning. It doesn't matter what your present condition looks like. You need to know that inside of you flows the bloodline of a winner. On the inside of you are seeds of greatness, and I want each one of you to begin seeing yourselves, not how your natural being is, but the bloodline that's flowing on the inside of you that's going to raise you up to the level to where God would have you to be in this life. It's there. Don't let the natural situation control you this morning. No more than the natural situations as far as gasoline is concerned, this world is concerned. I want you this morning to see that it's in the blood that's in you. Leviticus tells us in 17:11, he said, "For the life is in the blood." Your life is in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have royal blood flowing in your spiritual veins this morning, and if you don't take advantage of it, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Yes, amen. 2,000 years ago, God sent the crown jewel of heaven to redeem you from all the curses and demons and all the things that happened. He gave his life. He gave his blood for you. You say, Pastor, where do I begin? It all begins with believing. If you believe that you can win with the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll be a winner. If you believe that you can win by doing what the Word of God says, you'll be a winner. But if you don't, you'll be a loser. Are you ready to be a winner?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I hope so. Having said all that this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity as your pastor to help you and to allow you to rise to the next level in life. We are about to enter in what we call our Easter outreach, beginning today, and we're inviting every one of you to be a part of it. We have an opportunity this year, at this particular time, just before Easter, to have the greatest impact on this community that we would have at any other time. Our focus during this time for the next few weeks, our focus will be preparing, like the Bible tells us to prepare, for preparing for and bringing in those folks in our area that are unsaved and unchurched. We're as a church, we have developed what we believe to be the finest program possible. As a church leadership, we have pulled out all stops as far as having the kind of impact upon this community that we for us to have. So, on March the 25th, we will be having the first of three special Sundays. We are designating this as Friends Sunday, March the 25th. Get out your day timers, get out your calendars, whatever you need to do, and computer, wherever you in your telephone, your iPhone, or whatever the case may be. But the 25th of March will be our first of three special Sunday services. We are designating this as Friends Sunday. We're going to do everything that we can. As I said, we've pulled out all stops as far as leaders go to provide and take care of all the needs that's necessary for us to be able to have the greatest, most successful. You know what I'm talking about when I say greatest and most successful? I'm not talking about glory. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about souls coming into the kingdom of God. You hear me? Every person that comes through this door is a potential disciple for Christ. What did Christ tell us to do? Make disciples. Make disciples. Yeah. So every person who comes through that door has the potential of being a disciple. The more people we can bring through that door, the more potential we have for making disciples. As I shared with you this morning, God has called us to be a winner. God has called this church to be a church of destiny. God has called this church to be able to do those things He's called us to do. And I'm going to be a part of it. And we have the opportunity to do it. To really go for it. We're going to go for the golden stretch in the next few weeks. And I want every one of you to be a part of it.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.